With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4WN Radio.
This is Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. Do you want to live a more fulfilling life? Do you want to live your legacy and achieve your personal, professional, and financial goals? Well, coming up on Divya Parekh's Beyond Confidence, you will hear real stories of leaders, entrepreneurs, and achievers who have stepped into discomfort, shattered their status quo, and are living the life they want. You will learn how relationships are the key to achieving your aspirations and financial goals. Moving your career or business forward does not have to happen at the expense of your personal or family life, or vice versa. Learn more at www.divyaparekh.com and you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. This is Beyond Confidence. And now here's your host, Divya Parekh.
Hello, listeners. This is Divya and so thrilled to be with you today. And I want to share, I have a good friend of mine, Deborah Hoffman, with us. Welcome, Deb.
So nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, so how are you doing today?
Doing great, thanks. How about you?
I am doing good. Yeah, things are going well. And today we will be having a wonderful conversation, which I'm sure our listeners will be looking forward to. We are going to be talking about follow through. And before I talk about more about Deb, you just want to give a very quick highlight about the follow-through, that's your specialty.
So I work with entrepreneurs and sales professionals and people in network marketing who are struggling to get clients because they're not following up effectively. And I coach them, I work closely with them and help them create a step-by-step follow-up system for their business so they can convert more of their prospects, like more of those business cards, into clients without feeling salesy. That's the key thing. It's all about coming from a place of servant leadership and helping people achieve their goals. So my clients don't feel salesy and pushy when they're following up, which is one of the things that gets in people's way a lot. So it's all about the follow-up to grow your
business.
That
is true. Very true. So listeners, you know, I want to share that Debbie Hoffman is America's foremost authority on follow-up and founder of the breakthrough training company, Power Up Your Follow-Up. She works closely with entrepreneurs and network marketers, as she mentioned. And her key specialty is that, you know, for those people who are not getting enough clients because they're not following up effectively, and she helps them create a step-by-step follow-up system for the business so they can convert more prospects into long-term clients without being salesy. Debbie was a successful investment banker with 20 years of experience as managing director for Wall Street firms. Her extraordinary organizational skills were instrumental in building prosperous business relationships, resulting in sales of over $25 billion. She also has extensive experience as a networking marketing entrepreneur, having built an international team of several thousand consultants. Debbie has authored a new book highlighting her proven follow-up system due out in 2018. Congratulations, Deb.
Thank you.
So we usually start out, you know, we are the product of who we are today based on our previous conditioning and life experiences. So when you were young, it could be, you know, in your childhood, do you remember any fun facts from your childhood that gave an inclination that you would be moving towards entrepreneurship?
Oh, that's a really great question. When I was really young, like in elementary school, I was with a group of friends and we were trying to figure out what to do. Like, I was always the one like that took charge and found out the ideas, ran it by people, made the decisions and made stuff happen. So I think that was like the first sense I had of just being a go-getter and, you know, having those entrepreneurial kind of that spirit to just make things happen. So it started pretty young, I think.
Wow. So what did you do with it? When you were young, you know, you had this inclination. Did you run any small entrepreneurships?
No, I didn't. I just always found like that I was the ringleader. I was the person they always came to do, you know, to find out different options of things to do or where to go. And it was just, I was always the one, like people just sat around and nothing happened. So I just kind of took charge and made stuff happen. So I didn't do any entrepreneurial things when I was young, except for like the typical like lemonade stand and things like that. But nothing too big until later on in life when I, you know, after my Wall Street experience and wanting to get out of that and be home with my family. So that's really when it all started. But because I was really organized and efficient and very methodical in getting things done, it was an easy transition for me to become an entrepreneur because I was really self-motivated and had that discipline, I guess, that you need when you're an entrepreneur. So you don't go off, you know, doing laundry or getting on the phone with friends and getting distracted from doing your work when you're working from home. So that was never an issue for me.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's very, very interesting. So you mentioned that, you know, you were part of the Wall Street Journal. So as you moved from your high school to college, what was your concentration?
Marketing and finance. So, you know, I went to NYU and studied business, and the dream job back then, and this was, you know, in the early 80s or right around 1980, was to work for Wall Street companies. Like, that's what the dream job was, and so that's what I knew and that's what I pursued, and it turned out to be, you know, an incredible journey for me, and, you know, I had 20 really successful years there.
So can you share more about your journey? Like, how did you get into the Wall Street and what was it like? Because the Wall Street is very cutthroat.
Yes, but it was interesting because I was always working in California for Wall Street companies. So I was very, it was a kinder, gentler way to work for Wall Street companies. When you're in New York, it's very cutthroat. But I was lucky that I was able to work in a branch office in California. And so it was, you know, it was a fabulous experience for me. I'll never forget, I wasn't coming out to interview. I was coming out to learn more about the industry. And so it wasn't an interview. I wasn't nervous or anything. I just was trying to get information. I got 2 job offers out of that. And so I went back to New York, picked up and moved out when the semester was over. So it was interesting the way it happened. And it was just something, I remember saying to my soon-to-be boss, I said, I don't have any idea what this job is, but I know I'll do I'll do amazing at it. I know I'll work really hard and do a great job, but I have no idea what it is. And he hired me because I was confident. And so that's one of the things I'm really passionate about with my clients, is helping them to have skills and tools and strategies so that they'll be more confident and they'll show up that way. And people will want, you know, people... When people are confident, they attract others to them like magnets, or like magnets. And so that's really what I work with people on.
Wow.
And follow-up is just one of those areas where people aren't very confident because they've never had the training. They haven't had the support, so they kind of wing it. They don't know what to do. So being confident is the key, and you're more confident when you know what to do and what to say at every step of the way.
Yep. So when did you realize that follow-through was really important?
Well, in my Wall Street days, that was the key, and I didn't realize it then, but one of the reasons I was so successful so quickly was because I was really good at following up and building relationships. And looking back now, it's very clear to me, but I had no idea back then. I just did it naturally, but from everything that I did, I started to create my system, which is now what I coach people, you know, entrepreneurs and sales professionals with today.
Mm. So tell us more about it.
About my follow-up system?
Yeah.
So
let's go back in the corporate world. How did you develop your the follow-up system? Because we have a lot of listeners who are in the corporate world as well, so then they can get the benefit of how to utilize the follow-through system in the corporate world as well. So like, what was it that led you to develop that system? And if you have any personal stories, that'll be great.
Well, when I first started, I inherited some accounts from my boss, but then I had to go, I had a cold call and get new clients. And so that's like a really tough way to go because the odds are so low when you cold call getting a new client. So I just was persistent, and if I didn't reach them, I would just keep following up. And back then, we didn't have all the technology that we have today with the customer relationship management systems and all these ways of keeping track of people. So I just developed a system. You know, it was more kind of, it wasn't a high-tech system back then because we didn't have the technology. So I developed the system. I just kind of, again, it just came naturally to me that it was all about building relationships. And a lot of my peers were very technical and they had all this technical knowledge about the products that we were selling. And that's important. But for me, it was about building relationships and creating value for people. Because these people, you know, my clients, they were so used to these, you know, back then it was a man, you know, it still is pretty much male dominated. But that back then it was so many men. I was one of the few women. And so it was a breath of fresh air that a woman was calling on them. But I would make sure I met with them in person and took them out to lunch and met them in their office. And then just if they weren't ready, I would just keep following up with them until they were ready to invest. So it was just what happened naturally to me back then. And then years later, I started actually looking into specifically what I did, and that's how I created the system. I was just kind of doing it, and there was a lot of trial and error, especially with the when I became an entrepreneur, because when you're an entrepreneur, it's a very, very different way of interacting with people when, you know, as compared to when you're in corporate. And, you know, you're dealing with individuals who, you know, have personal issues and feelings, and, you know, it's very, very different. And so I had to unlearn some of my Wall Street bad habits. And that's really when I formulated my whole approach towards servant leadership and sharing, you know, always providing value to people, and my whole philosophy is very permission based, that I'm never offering information unless I've asked for permission. It's very respectful, and that's why people never feel salesy and pushy when I work with them and coach them. That salesy pushy thing goes away because it's all about serving people's needs, finding out what they need, see if you have a solution, and then asking for permission to share what that is. So again, it was just a process over the years, and becoming an entrepreneur, I really fine-tuned those skills and that system to be able to coach entrepreneurs in that system.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. So you mentioned that there were some habits you had to unlearn in the corporate life. So what would you tell our audience about some of those habits that if they're in the corporate world, they should have known it, and how they can change those habits to have a better time in corporate world.
So because it's almost like Pavlov's dogs, like when you do something over and over again and you're rewarded really well for it, you feel that that's like the way to go. And so on Wall Street, it was all about being very aggressive and very assertive and relentless and never giving up and just keep going until, you know, you got the yes or the no. And in the entrepreneurial world, that doesn't work real well. And it doesn't even work really well in the corporate world. And so I had to unlearn that. And like I mentioned a minute ago, to switch towards serving people's needs, asking lots of questions, getting very curious, finding out what's going on with them, what their challenges, their issues, their problems are, and then asking for permission to share the solution that you offer. So it's a very organic process, and people really appreciate it. And my clients, they just say, gosh, it just feels so good to just be always asking for permission. And one of my clients is helping me right now with creating some videos. And we were on the phone today, and he asked me, you know, for permission to share some idea that he had. And I was like, thank you for asking for permission. It feels so good, instead of just offering advice, to ask, would you like me to share, you know, a thought I have on this or a suggestion? And I was like, wow, where'd you learn that? It was great. It was really beautiful to be the recipient of it. And when people don't ask me for permission and they just start sharing, you know, their pricing on what their services when I didn't even ask, and if you're not ready, then, you know, you can feel put off. So even in the corporate world, you've got to be asking for permission to go to the next step, to provide the information on how you can help them, and only provide it if they're interested. If not, they're going to be shut down. They're not going to be listening anyway. But when you ask for permission and they're receptive, they're going to be open. They're going to be embracing what you say, and it's just going to be a much more comfortable conversation.
Mm. Oh, definitely. And we talk about servant leadership. It is so important to have that at heart, because when you come from the place of service and supporting others and helping them to succeed, it automatically brings back people in your corner, so to speak. And we have some questions coming in, so let's take a look at... what were you saying?
One quick thing I want to say, it builds trust and connection and rapport, because so many people have their defenses up because folks are always like hosing them down with their stuff and trying to sell them, and they get really defensive and shut down. But when you're asking questions and getting curious and letting people talk, because people love to talk about themselves, and when you're giving them the opportunity to do that, their defense mechanism, their wall comes down, and they go, wow, I can really trust this person. She's not trying to sell me her stuff. She really cares about me, and I want to see what I can do to help her. So it always comes back when you're thinking about serving them first and not trying to sell them your stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. So the questions that are coming in, the first question is, how did you find your way to do what you're doing now?
Oh my God. Question. It's a great story, and I'll try to give the Reader's Digest version. So when I quit Wall Street, I came home to be with my son. I'm sure a lot of your listeners can relate to that. You know, I wanted to get out of that rat race and bring up my son. And I was at a women's conference as a vendor, and I had these wellness products that I was representing at the time. And a woman was interested but wasn't ready to make a decision, so she asked me to follow up with her, which I did for 14 months, which is not easy to do. But she finally became a client, and I continued to follow up with her and her husband like I always did with every new client. And one day she left me a message and said, Debbie, you've got to teach me your follow-up system because you're amazing at it. I struggle with this. We need to talk. And one thing led to the next. We got on the phone, and she said, Debbie, no one's following up with me like you do. People really struggle with this. You have a gift. You need to do something with this. And I didn't believe her. I had no idea that I was doing anything special. I had no idea that people were struggling with it. And I just trusted her. And I'm so grateful to her for encouraging me and inspiring me to start this business, because now I've been able to help so many people. And, you know, I'm watching my clients' businesses just take off. And so the whole point is, we all have a gift. We all have something that we do naturally that we just take for granted. I'm sure all of you listeners out there, you all have that gift, right? Like, there's something that you know you do really well. Sometimes we need somebody outside of us to point it out and encourage us to go for it. And she said she's, you know, pointed out gifts to other people before, but most people don't run with it. But I totally took the ball and ran with it. And now, you know, now I've been able to build a really successful six-figure business helping a ton of people. So that's how it got started. I wasn't looking for it, Divya. It just really, really found me. Really found me.
Mm. It found you, yeah. It's about being open to different opportunities and letting it happen. And yeah. I think so. There was another question. What are some of the differences? I think so. Those were the differences when we were talking about the follow through in the corporate world and the entrepreneur world. Next question is there a way around cold calling?
Well, it depends on what, that's hard for me to answer that without knowing what the listener is doing, but cold calling is the least productive way to, I mean, if you have make 100 calls and get one client, you're doing well. So I always recommend to network, to go to networking events, to build relationships with people, to meet with them, again, find out how you can help them, build the connection, and then find people who I call power partners, which are people who have similar clients that you have, but you're not in competition with them. And if you have two or three power partners that you hook up with, you'll have a steady stream of clients coming in. Cold calling is the hardest way to go, and the results for the time investor are very low. So, but sometimes you have to do it, but you have to have a really good script, and you have to know how to leave messages that get people's attention to, you know, call you back.
Mm-hmm. The next question is, do you think in-person follow-ups make a difference?
Well, if you get together with people in person and build that trust and rapport, like I mentioned, yes, it makes a big difference. Now, I do a lot of what I call, you know, getting to know you cup of coffee meetings virtually through Zoom. You can use Skype as well, or FaceTime, whatever. But it's really important to see people face to face. I find that much deeper connections are created that way versus being on the phone. So whenever you can meet somebody face-to-face, do it, ideally in person. And then if it's too far, you know, if you're talking to people on different parts of the country, then just get on Zoom or Skype. But when you can, there's something that happens, that the relationship deepens when you can see the person and feel them, and they can see and feel you. Again, it's all about building that trust and rapport and the connection.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, that makes perfect sense. So tell me, how does the follow-through become synonymous with being organized? Because it's so important to be organized to have that follow-up.
Well, it's really important to have, you know, the more organized people are, the more effective their follow-up will be. And so it really starts with having the technology in place, which is the customer relationship management system, a CRM, to put all your contacts into, to keep notes, to set reminders for the next step. So it's really important to have that. And when people come to me and they're not using a CRM, they're sharing with me that they're just disorganized. You know, they know they're losing clients. People are slipping through the cracks over and over and over again. My clients that are using the CRM find that they're staying in touch with people longer. They're not giving up so soon, and they're developing deeper relationships, and they're getting more clients. So that's the one thing, is having the technology in place. And then you need to know what to do and what to say at every step of the way. And that's where I come in. So I work with my clients to script everything and to have templates, and again, not to be robotic, but it just keeps you on track when you're having a conversation with someone. So the more organized you are, the more effective you'll be with follow-up, and the longer you'll keep up with people, you won't give up so soon. And as you build that relationship, because follow-up is all about building relationships.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you have a follow-up system in place that organizes everything for you, you will be more continually in touch with people. Deeper relationship will be created, and people are going to become clients. So it's essential to have a follow-up system in place. And what I find, Divya, is that people are making everything else more important than follow-up. And if you don't have a reliable follow-up system in place, you can never maximize your sales results. It just can't happen. And people are not really understanding the importance of it. But once they do and they start implementing what I'm coaching into their daily business, you know, routine, they just start getting more clients, more appointments, more clients, more referrals. All of that starts to happen a lot more effortlessly. So people are able to build their business more quickly and, you know, in less time with less effort when they're more organized. It's all about being organized and prepared. Preparation is really key as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So can you tell our audience the most basic follow-up principle that would apply to everyone?
It's about providing value, you know, building relationships and providing value. Because every step of the way, you have to be providing information or something of value to them so that they feel that you're not just that you don't have your own agenda. So it goes back to the servant leadership. That's really, really, really basic.
No, that makes perfect sense. So if we were to talk about entrepreneurship, what would you recommend it to people?
Can you clarify the question? What aspect of entrepreneurship?
Yeah, so like for entrepreneurs, what's the best way to have the main tip for the follow-through or the system?
So for entrepreneurs to be successful in their business, the first step is to have a system to be organized and then to really prepare at every step of the way. So before they go to a networking event, for instance, is to be prepared with what you're going to say when people ask, what do you do? That is like the biggest downfall of most entrepreneurs. They go to events, people ask what they do, and then they hose them down. They go on and on and on. So being prepared in advance with how to share what you do in a powerful way that gets people to lean in, as I call it, is really important. And then sometimes people go to networking events where you get to stand up in front of a room and share for 30 seconds what you do. And again, having that prepared in a way that's focusing on benefits and results and the experience that people have when they work with you. Because most of the time people stand up and they go, I'm a realtor with, you know, whatever real estate agency, and I help people buy and sell homes. Like, it's just boring. And so I really work with my clients to help them come up with what they're going to say that's powerful, that gets people to lean in and want to know more. So preparation is a very, very critical component of in every stage of the follow-up process. And I find that most people just wing it. They're not prepared. And so when it comes to handling objections, when concerns come up, if you're prepared in advance with what you're going to say when people ask, or come up with an objection, you'll be more grounded, you'll come across much more professional, and you won't be thrown off guard. Like, sometimes people are just like, it shakes them up and shakes their confidence when they get an objection. So I work with my clients to create what I call an objections library, which is a list of objections that you typically hear over and over again in your business and how you would respond to them, so that when it comes up, you've got it. Like you know what to say. Because our potential clients subconsciously are testing us to see how committed we are to our business and how much we believe in what we offer. So preparation, I think, is just so important at every step of the way.
Absolutely. So that's really some great advice there, and I'm sure, you know, our listeners are enjoying it. And can you share what's the biggest mistake that you have seen in your experience people making when it comes to follow-up?
One of the biggest mistakes that I see when entrepreneurs are networking is they go to a networking event with the intention of selling and finding clients. And of course, we all want more clients. But when you come from that place, like I mentioned earlier, it makes people defensive and they shut down. So when you come from a place of wanting to help people and learn about them and see how you can support them, it opens up it just creates a beautiful relationship. So it's people coming on too strong and talking about themselves too much and hosing people down with a lot of information instead of just sharing very, small tidbits of information and just constantly bringing the conversation back to them. So that's like one huge mistake that entrepreneurs make. The other thing that I see is people, it's related to this networking piece, is that they say to me, oh, I don't network because it's a waste of time. You know, my clients, I'm not finding my ideal clients there. And when you go to network, it's not just about finding your clients. It's finding power partners, people who have clients similar to yours who you can partner up with and refer people back and forth to each other. So they make this mistake of going to find clients when they really should be going trying to find referral partners and power partners, just other people who you can form a relationship with to refer back and forth to each other.
So in your experience, what is it that stops people from following up?
It's the limiting beliefs that stop people the most. It's fear of rejection comes up a lot, and the fear of being salesy or pushy. Those are two areas that really stop people dead in their tracks, because they have this mindset that when they follow up, they're being pushy and salesy. So one of the things I share with people that makes such a difference is that when you follow up, if you follow up in a way that's, again, providing value and building the relationship, that people are going to feel like you really care about them and you're actually showing up in service to them and their needs. So those limiting beliefs and fears are like the key thing that stop people from following up. And so I actually work with my clients so that they can follow up in a way that feels compelling and connected instead of salesy and repelling. And so when they realize that follow-up is all about service, that they can, if they embrace that mindset of service, care, and passion around their follow-up, like making it a fundamental part of their business activities, they'll no longer be missing those opportunities because of these fabricated stories. Because these are all stories we make up. Oh, the person doesn't have enough money, or they don't have enough time, or they don't want to hear from me, or, whatever. People make up all these stories, Divya. It's crazy, the stories people make up. But that's really what stops people the most, is the inner stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. And as we are talking about, it's the mindset. And sometimes what happens is these beliefs that we have that have stemmed from the fear of rejections, because, so many times people go through situations and experiences when they face rejection, and it can be embedded as a fear. And when that happens, our brains go into a mode where it's more about survival rather than optimization. And listeners, it's okay. It's okay if you do that. The key is being aware of it. And when you're aware of your belief system, that's the time you can overcome. So we have talked about, Deb, that these limiting beliefs stop people? What can they do to overcome these limiting beliefs?
Well, one of the things I already mentioned is the preparation. When people prepare in advance of a meeting or a conversation or a networking event, and they know what they're going to, and they set an intention. I'm very big on setting intention, which is very different from having an agenda, but just putting out there what you intend, what you want to see happen. And when you're really prepared and you set an intention, those limiting beliefs start to drop off because it builds confidence. And when you have more confidence, you are just going to be a lot more, come across a lot more professionally and have a lot more success. So that is key. Also, not being attached to the results. Yes, of course, we want more clients. And yes, of course, we want to make more income for our business. But if you let go of your agenda and, again, focus on what the person needs, then those limiting beliefs are going to drop off as well. So you won't, the fear of rejection, they're not rejecting you. It might not be the right timing. Maybe you didn't explain what you do in a clear enough way. So there are things that you can do when you're more prepared to be able to articulate more clearly the value of what you offer, so that when they say no, it's not about you. And also, you know, there's some, you know, personal growth work that needs to be done with a lot of people. And I'm not a limiting belief specialist, but I do have colleagues who I refer folks to. And I also have some things that people can implement into their daily routine that helps them with the limiting beliefs as well. You know, I work with people with affirmations and things that really strongly visualizing what you want to create. And it's all about the focus and what we think about. We get what we think about most of the time. And so if people are thinking about what they want to create, those limiting beliefs and fears will start to dissipate.
Mm-hmm. That definitely makes sense. So in your experience, can you share if you have seen any of your clients go from being in a place where they are non-believing to moving beyond that and achieving things?
Well, yes, I actually have a client who's a professional organizer, and she had no follow-up system in place. She wasn't networking. She didn't like to network. She thought it was a waste of time. And she was doing okay in her business, but the first thing we did was work on how to powerfully share what she does. We got her out networking. She started dating networking events and found the right ones for her. And people started coming up to her and saying, you know, what you shared was the most powerful infomercial of anyone here, and we want to know more. And they started meeting with her and she started getting more referrals and more clients. And then one of the things, too, was that a lot of people have what I call a chicken list, which are those people who were afraid to call, like we hesitate to call them. They're on this list and we've never called them. And so she had this list and I encouraged her to call those people. And she did. And one of them was a referral. And that to me is a crime. If you get a referral and you don't call them, oh my God, that's just not good. You definitely want to call people who you were referred to. But she got an appointment with this woman and the woman asked her to bring a brochure in, which she didn't have. So we were on the phone working together, creating a brochure to bring in using the language that her clients use in terms of the problems that they have and the solutions that she offers and what the experience was like working with her and the results that they got. So it was very benefit oriented, very problem solution focused. And what happened was she met with this woman. She was up against a lot of other professional organizers, and she was awarded the project because this woman was so impressed with how prepared she was and how she knew what her clients were feeling. And as a result, she's brought an additional like $20,000 into her business in the last 5 months or so, and brought in 10 or so more, you know, additional clients. And she's so confident now. And now she's going to start speaking. We're working on helping her get out to speak. So she said, I've never been doing any of this if it wasn't, you know, for working with you. And she's just feeling so much more confident now. So her world, she's doing things she never would have done before.
That is awesome.
She's a believer in follow-up.
So few questions have rolled in. The first question was, how does one set an intention?
Well, what I do is before I go to a networking event, I have an envelope and I write down where I'm going, who's hosting the event, and I write down my intention right on the envelope of whether it's, you know, new connections with power partners or if it's X number of new clients or whatever it is that I'm intending. I write it down and I really focus on it. So as I'm going to the event, I'm very intentional. And so my conversations lead, the questions I ask lead the conversation to the intention that I want to create, basically. So before I do anything, I'm always, like before I make a phone call, what's my intention? What do I want to have happen? So you just want to ask the question and write it down, speak it out loud. And it's very powerful. And then taking it a step further is the visualizing. So I visualize exactly what I want to create down to the minutest detail. So I had a goal and a dream. I didn't get to share my story, but we went through foreclosure and bankruptcy and lost everything when the real estate market crashed in California. And it was a devastating time for me. And during that time, my son was graduating from college and we had promised him we would take him to Italy for his graduation present, but we couldn't do that because of our financial situation. And so I set an intention and I visualized to every little detail what this trip was going to look like. Even like going through security and doing a happy dance and having a group hug, because we always did group hugs when my son was little. Everything, sitting on the airplane, how we were going to be sitting, in what order, and getting off the plane in Rome, like everything. And I created that trip, like it almost was exactly the way I had visualized it. And we took that trip a year ago. So it's really important to just put all of your energy on what you want to create and not focus on what's not working in your life. Because for years after the bankruptcy and foreclosure, I was in this victim state and I was just focusing on how everything wasn't working and I got more of what doesn't work. So then I had an aha one day, started working with a coach who helped me with a lot of the inner work, and I started focusing on what I wanted to create and everything started to shift for me.
Mm.
I'm a big believer in setting intention before anything that you do.
I'm very powerful, extremely powerful.
Yeah.
So you have talked about how can you follow up on the intention with visualization, and this is a huge question. What is the best way to make things happen?
Is to think about them. And, yeah, to think about them and speak it out over and over again. And there's actually a wonderful process that I learned from my coach, and it's called the Cosmic Claim, where you actually speak out what you want to create as if it's already happened. And it's so powerful because your endorphins kick in. Your body doesn't know the difference if it's happened or not. And the more you talk about and think about what you want to create, the more you'll create it. So that's really, really powerful.
No, it sure is. And when you're talking about how can you make things happen, always remember, listeners, that, you know, it's about setting the intention. The next step is making the decision, making the choices. And third is the follow through or taking action. Because if you don't take action, no matter how good your intentions are, things will not happen.
Exactly. Exactly. You've got to take action. I took a lot of action. I went from losing everything to building a thriving business. And it was a combination of the intention, the visualizing, the affirmations, and taking action day to day.
Mm-hmm. So you have mentioned that you have a couple of gifts for our listeners. So can you share about that?
Yes, I would love to. So I've created a free guide called 4 Action Steps to Increase Sales Fast Without Being Salesy. And in this guide, there's 4 tips that you can put to use and implement right away in your business to start improving your follow-up. And every week on Friday, I call it Follow-Up Friday, you'll receive a very short video tip with an invitation of something to implement that week. So it's very practical, and it's something that you can do yourself. And so if you want to receive this free guide and the weekly follow-up tips, you can go to powerupyourfollowup.com/free guide. powerupyourfollowup.com/free guide. And then you just, you know, put in your name and email and it will show up.
Fantastic. And you had also mentioned that, you know, you were open to doing some time sharing and doing some complimentary sessions. Would you want to talk about that?
Yes, for sure. So for those of you who are on the line who are ready to take your business to the next level and you're looking for support, and you know that follow-up is a key weakness for you, I'd like to offer you a complimentary session. It's called Convert More Prospects into Clients Breakthrough Session. And during this time, we'll explore like where you want to go with your business, where you want it to be, where it is now, and what roadblocks or challenges are getting in the way. And then if there's a strong match between what I offer and what you need, we'll discuss the possibilities of us working together. So if you'd like to request that session, I have very limited spots, so please only request it if you're very, very serious about getting support. You can go to powerupyourfollowup.com/discovery. powerupyourfollowup.com/discovery. And my calendar will come up and you can choose a time that's convenient for you.
So could you repeat that again? Powerupfollowup?
powerupyourfollowup.com/discovery. And the free guide is powerupyourfollowup.com/free guide.
Because listeners are asking for the link, and I'm going to put it in the chat box. And it's coming your way.
Awesome.
And for the complimentary session, it was discovery, right?
Yes. powerupyourfollowup.com/discovery.
Okay. So, listeners, I have provided you with the links in the chat, and feel free to go ahead and either get the free guide or book a complimentary session with Deb, and I can definitely share that you'll have a good time talking as well as learning with Deb. And thank you so much, Deb, for sharing such a wealth of knowledge with us today. And thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun, and I hope to hear from a lot of you on the line. So reach out, and we can have a conversation and see how I can support you. Because, you know, like I say to people, Divya, they can have the best website in the world, the best services, the best products, but if they don't have the follow-up in place, they're going to be the best-kept secret. So I want all of you to share your gifts and get your message out and make the impact that you're here to make. And the way that's going to happen is by having a system and knowing how to follow up very consistently and efficiently and effectively.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, Deb, and thank you, listeners, and thank you, Rebel, for making this show happen. And we will be tuning in again next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And listeners, if I can support you in any way, feel free to reach out to me with your feedback, with your stories, with your requests at contact@divyaparekh.com. And until next time, be brilliant and take care. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you for being part of Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. We hope you have learned more about how to start living the life you want. Each week on Beyond Confidence, you hear stories of real people who have experienced growth by overcoming their fears and building meaningful relationships. During Beyond Confidence, Divya Park shares what happened to her when she stepped out of her comfort zone to work directly with people across the globe. She not only coaches people how to form heart connections, but also transform relationships to mutually beneficial partnerships as they strive to live the life they want. If you are ready to live the life you want and leverage your strengths, learn more at www.divyapark.com. And you can connect with Divya at contact@divyapark.com. We look forward to you joining us next week, Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.